Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. More than likely, if you've been here through this series, your Bible will just automatically open on Sunday night. It's trained to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and to these passages that we've been dealing with. At this point, we only have, I think, one other message before we get into the sign gifts. And some of you have been interested in those gifts, and I'm looking forward to sharing them with you. But we have come a long journey thus far in dealing with spiritual gifts, and I hope that you have identified some of yours, working very diligently at this point to try to come up with a way that will help you to go back and review and help you to identify what your spiritual gifts may be. It's our desire, and has been our desire from the beginning, to lead us as a church family, to find those gifts, and then to begin exercising them and using them in the life of the church. Knowledge without exercise really doesn't do us much good. And so it's been our effort to give you an opportunity to find what God has invested in you, and then to be a good steward of that and use it in the life and ministry of our church, believing that our church will be a greater church because we have become biblical in our approach to ministry. Tonight we want to look at the gift of the word of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. He says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit." And he divides those two gifts, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. They are separate, they are different, and we're going to look at that difference tonight. Let me begin, as always, by defining this particular spiritual gift. And to tell you the honest truth, from the very outset of discussing this gift, it is one of the spiritual gifts that I do not find a great deal of biblical background on or see it operative so much in the life of the church as I have found in many of the other gifts. It is not as readily identifiable from the standpoint of being identified in a particular passage of being the exercise of this gift. And yet I think it is very biblical and certainly mentioned here, and was a gift that was used in the early church. And I think we'll come to understand that a little better. But it's just not one of those easy ones that we can go in and lift up and say, aha, that's it. Because it is not as widely spread, and I really don't think probably because of that, is a gift that is given as broadly within the life of the church as some of the other gifts. The definition of it. It is the God-given ability. You notice I use that each time because it is supernatural in its content. It is something that God gives us. The God-given ability to discover, accumulate, analyze, and clarify. Now those are four very important words, and you need to get them down. It is the God-given ability to discover, to accumulate, to analyze, and clarify information. Now you'll notice from the definition of this gift, it is not what some think it to be. At least from my perspective as I understand it. It is a God-given ability to discover, accumulate, analyze, and clarify information and ideas that are pertinent to growth and the well-being of the body. Now that's the definition of it. Let me give it to you again. The God-given ability to discover, to accumulate, to analyze, and clarify information and ideas that are pertinent to the growth of the body and to the well-being of the body. Now, I want to discuss that definition with you just briefly. Some people have the idea that the gift of knowledge is a gift that is very similar to the gift of prophecy. That is, they put it in the context of revelatory knowledge. I'm not saying that this gift is altogether eliminating that concept, but I do not think that that is the major impact of this gift. For example, I am not making fun of, I want you to hear that in the very outset, I'm just simply saying that as I have studied it, as I have listened to others who I have great faith in, people who I have read, I do not agree with those who see this gift as a revelatory concept. And I'll show you whenever we get into the word meaning the reason for that. There are those who think that the gift of knowledge is a gift of being able to simply stand in a crowd like this and say, I have a word of knowledge. There's someone in the audience who has one leg shorter than the other, and God is getting ready to make that leg well. And there are those that believe that. I really do not want to make fun of them, and I don't want you to accept it as that. Pat Robison, who is on CBN, who I think is a very fine Christian man and does a tremendous work. I'm thankful to God for what Pat Robison does. I disagree with him theologically in many ways, but I really think he does a tremendous job dealing with a lot of issues that are contemporary to our world, and I'm thankful for Christian television. Oftentimes he prays and he says, there's a lady in New York who has a cancer that's being healed, and someone else, and almost always it is related to healing of the body or related to financial needs. And that is his particular understanding of this gift. And the charismatic movement, Pentecostal movement, by and large sees this gift in that context. I'm not saying that they are absolutely wrong. I'm saying that as I understand this gift from the meaning of the words that are used, I find it difficult to understand it from that perspective. There are times in the New Testament, Jesus, for example, oftentimes had revelatory knowledge of the needs of particular persons and had revelatory knowledge of understanding of where a person was in their relationship to God. I see that to be the discernment of spirits, and I see it as the gift of discernment personally as I've analyzed these gifts. Oftentimes people see it from that perspective. And Paul certainly could deal with people. Peter dealt with people from the perspective of revelatory knowledge and insight into a person's life. I think that those gifts really identify themselves, and that context identifies itself more closely with the gift of wisdom and with the gift of discernment of spirits. And I take that approach because of an understanding of the word meaning, the meanings of the background of the words that are used to describe this gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. Now let's look at that word meaning, and then I'm going to come back to the different definition and deal with it somewhat. The two words that are used to describe this gift in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8 are the words logos, genosis. We get our word knowledge from it, genosis, G-N-O. And the rest of the spelling is immaterial to you, but the idea is we get our word knowledge from it. Knowledge that is based on experience and the ability to perceive. There are two different words in the Greek language that are used to talk about knowledge. One is a word that is used to talk about fact, that is, it is knowledge that is based on factuality. The other is the idea, and it's really connotation more than simply a very clear drawing of definition, but the connotation and the nuance of the words give the definition of an ability to know from experiential knowledge, different from knowing from fact. Knowing from accumulation of knowledge, knowing from looking at all the details and bringing it together, seeing it, being able to bring it together from observation and experience. And that is the word that is used to describe the gift of knowledge. Knowledge that is gained by experience. Knowledge that is gained by observation. Experiential kind of knowledge and reasoning that is brought about. That's why I think that this gift is an all-encompassing term, rather than simply a word that differentiates the idea of one who has revelatory knowledge, mystical knowledge that is given them as an insight into what they see or perceive by a revelatory knowledge from God. Now, anytime you say that, you have to come back and understand that all of our knowledge spiritually comes from God. I'm not deprecating that or separating it. What you and I come to know in our spiritual journey, what we come to understand about the Word of God, is given to us by the unction of the Holy Spirit. But this word relates itself to that guiding of the Holy Spirit that leads us into the Word. Yes, there is fact there, but there is also that ability to understand and to operate in the observing and the accumulating of what God teaches us from His Word. And I think that's what that word defines, and that's what the gift is. That's why we have said in discussing it that it is an ability to discover, an ability to accumulate and analyze and clarify information. A person who has the gift of knowledge, looks at the Word of God, has an unusual ability to understand it, an unusual ability to take all of the Word of God and put it into an understandable form and bring it together that helps us to understand it by accumulating the Word of God, analyzing it, and making discoveries in it that help us to understand what the Word of God is trying to say to us. It is a marvelous gift that helps the body to grow immeasurably. Whenever this gift is combined, I think, with the gift of teaching, the gift of knowledge and the gift of teaching are combined, we have what we call in our modern day biblical scholars. And I have seen it in people who do not have seminary degrees, who have not been to the seminary or colleges, who do not read Greek and Hebrew, but yet God has given them that ability to discover and analyze His Word and to bring it into a clear focus and a clear meaning so that people can lift it up and understand it. And I've seen them teaching in Sunday school classes, and they are real scholars, even though they're not scholars in the context of the educational process. It is a gift that is desperately needed in the life of the church, perhaps not in as large a degree as some others, but it is one that constantly is digging into the Word of God and giving us new insight as God reveals it to them. There are people that pore over the Word of God hour and hour upon end, and God gives them the insights and the fruits of their labors. And then we in the church have the joy of enjoying it and studying from them and learning from them, because God has given them this tremendous gift. Now I want to give you some observations that I think will help you to understand the gift of knowledge. Ralph Naber, who I think is probably one of the foremost future thinkers in our world today and really has a hold on an understanding of God's Word, helps us to understand that this gift is the ability to probe the depths of God's Word, as recorded in Philippians 3:18. And he helps us to see the difference in how we might divide the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge. He puts it into a medical context. He says, for example, a person who has the gift of knowledge is the researcher in the medical world. One who is willing to spend long hours in the research laboratory, who will deal with all of the myriad of things that have to be dealt with to make discoveries and insights into medicine, but who may have an absolute atrocious ability to go out and have good bedside manner. You ever met a doctor like that? You know, it was brilliant, but when he came to the bedside, you wish somebody else had come and interpret for you. You couldn't understand what he was trying to tell you, and he wasn't very communicative. In fact, in many cases, he was just blunt and harsh to you. But then you've met that other kind of doctor who has the ability to deal with people and comes into the bedside, and he is a practitioner. He would be lost in the laboratory. He'd go nuts in the laboratory. He would not enjoy going in there and researching because he is gifted with an ability to be a people person, dealing with people. All right? A person with a gift of wisdom is that practitioner, the one who is able to go out and deal with people, who has an insight into what's going on and a unique ability to be able to deal with people and to guide people, because God has gifted them with the ability to make applicable the knowledge that a person with a gift of knowledge has brought to the forefront or to the top. But a person with a gift of knowledge is the person that's in the background, digging away. Put it in the context of theological understanding. There are those who will spend years and years and years and yea, more years digging around in these little tells over in Israel, playing with pottery and with a little chip and with a little brush And they'll spend their whole life discovering little tidbits of information that bring to light an understanding of the Scripture. And if I particularly was put in that context, I'd go bananas. Most of you would be just like that. You'd feel, boy, I just couldn't spend my life like that. And yet these people have given us a tremendous insight in an understanding of the Word of God. What a tremendous thing they have done for us to help us to understand and to observe what God wants to teach us. And yet, when it come to bringing that and speaking and teaching and preaching, they'd be lost in that context. But man, they come alive when they get over there to a little plot, a little molehill of dirt, and they just start digging around in that thing, and they just get turned on. Or a person who will spend their life in a stuffy old, in a nice, clean, air-conditioned, beautiful library. They're all stuffy to me, aren't they? You know, a stuffy old library, you know. They'll go in there and they get in those stacks of books and they just come alive. Their eyes light up and they begin to glitter. And they can spend hours studying a little old Greek preposition, which, by the way, may have tremendous insight. They're helping us understand the Word of God, but the rest of us won't pay the price because we don't have the gift. One of my professors in college wrote his whole dissertation, some 200 pages, on the little Greek preposition in, E-N or I-N in our English language. His whole 200 pages on that little preposition. Now, that guy had the gift of knowledge because he liked to discover, accumulate, and analyze, and clarify an understanding of that word. Now, I'm not sure about the last because as I perused it, it didn't clarify a whole lot for me. But that's the kind of thing they like to do. And a person who has that gift is caught up in that. We have Sunday school workers in our church who really get excited about that kind of thing, and they're very beneficial to the body. They help us to understand things that you and I wouldn't pay the time or the price to get into. And yet they're there, and they help the body understand. And when you study biblical languages and you get into theology, you see how important those people are to helping us to understand the Word of God and bringing it to light, lifting it to the surface so that we can understand it, can see it in such a manner to help us. These people are far more comfortable with books and picks and chips, you know, and pieces of pottery most of the time than they are with people, because that is the orientation of this particular gift. Now, I want to give you two examples that I think will help you to understand this gift. One of them is the example of the Wycliffe translators. I was listening to one of our religious programs some months ago, and they had on there a Wycliffe translator. And this person was explaining that in some cases they have spent 10 and 15 years living among a primitive people in a culture that we know very little about, and they would spend as much as 10 and 15 years before they ever got to the point of being able to discover even the smallest ability to communicate in that language. 10 and 15 years before they could ever come up with an alphabet. 10 and 15 years before they could ever begin to translate one small portion of the Word of God. Now, that's the gift of knowledge. Also the gift of perseverance. A willingness to pay the price because they believe that it was necessary. And now today there are tribes and there are peoples who have never had a written language, who had never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Wycliffe translators who had the gift of knowledge were willing to spend all of those years sorting through the minutiae of details in order to bring to those people the written language so they could understand John 3:16. You see how necessary they are to the body? How absolutely fundamental they are to the teaching and the preaching and the communicating of the Word of God, to the witness of the Word of God. And then let me give you an example that many of you will have some affinity to. William Carey was the beginner of the modern missionary movement. What a brilliant man he was, a shoe cobbler. And he began by moving Baptists out of their location and simply caring for their own church and their own association. And he stood and preached that great sermon from Isaiah of how they ought to extend their tents and how they ought to expect great things from God and do great things for God. And what a tremendous, tremendous man he was, a mover of men. And yet, in many ways, his greatest attributes and his greatest gift was not simply the gift of apostleship, but also the gift of knowledge. Now, I can't remember all this, so I've detailed it, and I want to share it with you. Just the kind of person William Carey was, and he had this gift. Listen to it. William Carey mastered 5 languages: Greek, Hebrew, Dutch, Latin, and French. I spent 6 years in college and seminary trying to learn Greek and Hebrew, and I couldn't read the first line of Hebrew today if I tried. This man was so brilliant. 5 languages. He did not simply learn these languages from the standpoint of recognizing their alphabets. He mastered them. He was able to read them and able to communicate in them. Spent 40 years as a missionary in India without furlough. Mastered numerous dialects of the Indian language. Not simply the languages, the 5 major languages, but learned the dialects of many of the Indian people tribes that he dealt with and that he ministered to. Established numerous churches. Served as a professor of Bengali and Sanskrit at Fort Williams College in Calcutta. Published the first newspaper in India, translated the first Bible in India, superintended the translation of the Bible into 42 separate Oriental languages. I'm already tired. How about you? Wrote grammars and dictionaries for 6 major Indian languages. Established Scrimpore College. I would say you had the gift of knowledge, wouldn't you? And the body would be so languishing in lack of knowledge and understanding of the Word of God if we didn't have people like that. You Sunday school teachers, every time you go and pull off a book off of the shelf that is a commentary, every time you open your Sunday school quarterly and you look in it, you are by and large, most of the time, having the joy of experiencing the fruits of a person who has the gift of knowledge and who is exercising that gift to the benefit of the body. And what a tremendous help it is to us, isn't it? Helping us to understand God's Word. Fife Bruce, F.F. Bruce, one of the great New Testament scholars of our day, has written book after book, and how he has helped us to understand God's Word because he had the gift of knowledge. Now let me help you to see how this can be used in our world today, how it has practical application. First of all, I think biblical scholars, I've already mentioned them, Bible translators. Here is where I think the ability to write often comes into play. Not the only place that writing is seen as a part of a particular gift, but this is one area where a person with the gift of knowledge makes it applicable and usable by using their writing skills. Seminary and college professors, many of them, by and large, have the gift of teaching and also have the gift of knowledge. Teachers in the church, and there are some preachers who have this gift. William Hall, the pastor of First Baptist Church of Shreveport, Louisiana, I think is one of those pastors who has the gift of knowledge and exercises it so beautifully in the ministry and the preaching of the Word of God. And many have this gift. Now let me give you the tendencies of this particular gift. A person who has the gift of knowledge has a great interest in biblical doctrine and mentally grasp how they are put together. A person with a gift of knowledge has the ability to not only put the, to accumulate and to analyze the Word of God, but has an ability to put it in a very clear and understandable way. When you read Russell Dilday, the president of Southwestern Seminary, I think that Dr. Lovell, the president of New Orleans Seminary, are men who have the gift of knowledge and who have such a beautiful way of putting it in practical ways of understanding biblical doctrine, so that you can read it and you can understand it and have the fruits of their labors. A person with this gift has an intense interest in biblical doctrine. Grasp it, put it together, and give it to us. They desire to spend great blocks of time in meticulous study of the Scripture. They're not satisfied in simply reading the Word of God and saying, wow, it said something neat to me. But rather they are interested in tearing it apart, word for word, and particle by particle, in order that we can get the fruits of their labor. They emphasize knowledge in a passage more than life-relatedness. This is why sometimes a person who has the gift of knowledge is seen to be a very dry, very uncommunicative person, because oftentimes they are people who emphasize the knowledge rather than emphasizing its life-relatedness. Whereas you find a person who has the gift of pastor-teacher, and I, again, I'm not meaning it simply from this office, but as Sunday school teachers in the church who have the gift of pastor-teacher, they are more interested in applying knowledge to your life than they are simply to giving you passages. If you have a teacher who, when you go into their classroom, by and large what they do is tell you what the scripture passage means but never apply it to your life, you're probably sitting under a person who has the gift of knowledge. They find a person with a gift of knowledge finds it hard, difficult, to make application of Scripture so often. And, as I mentioned earlier, they are more comfortable with ideas than they are comfortable with persons. This is a gift that is not widespread in the church, and therefore many of you will say, well, that's a nice gift, but I really don't see where it applies to my life. And I can understand that. But when we study spiritual gifts, we are doing it not simply to understand what is my gift, but we're doing it to understand how vastly and how joyously God has put this body together and has given different people particular gifts that will help all of us and benefit us as a whole. And so the people with the gift of knowledge are vitally important to us understanding this beautiful book God has given us and putting it in a way that is understandable, that you and I can then take it and make application to our lives. We have people in our church with the gift of knowledge, and they are important to us because they help us to understand the Word in its detail. Okay? That's the gift of the Word of knowledge. Now I hope tonight that as you've come, and I have instructed the body, that if you're here and do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, while I have not spoken to you through this message, while I have not tried to apply it to your particular life because it may have no relationship to you, at the same time, I am calling you tonight to faith in Jesus Christ. This body is gathered together because we rejoice in what God has done in our midst, and we praise the Lord Jesus because He has seen fit to come to this earth to die for us and to give to us eternal life. And if you do not know Him as Lord and Savior of your life, we want to give you an opportunity to step out from where you are tonight and say, I want Jesus in my life. Some of you have come to this place and you've worshiped with us, and you have sensed God's call to become a part of this family, to put your life in ministry here. We're going to give you an opportunity tonight to walk the aisle and give your hand to one of the pastors of our church, and then to meet with a counselor, and then to become a part of our church family, moving your life, which means moving your letter, and moving, coming as a candidate for baptism, saying, I want to be in a family of God like this. And we're going to call you to do that tonight. We're going to call you on the authority of the name of Christ to come and put your life